I want to talk this morning. I was thinking about the Christmas time, Christmas season, and how we're going to hear messages about the birth of Christ. You're going to hear it. You turn on the TV, hear evangelists. Turn on a radio, you're going to hear radio preachers. If you go to another church somewhere some other time, you're going to hear a message about Christmas because this is the time of the year it is. Amen. So I started focusing on a Christmas message, and it's kind of Christmassy, but kind of not. Amen. But really, the whole Bible's a Christmas message. Amen. From Genesis to Maps, or to Revelation. Amen. But Mel Gibson put a program out or a show a few years ago. It was called The Passion of Christ. Anybody see The Passion of Christ? Amen. Awesome, awesome show. So I got to looking up The Passion of Christ. Amen. And the definition I seen, at least on when I Googled it, amen, because I don't think The Passion of Christ is in the Bible, at least not that I'm aware of. But it defined it as the suffering of Christ during his time he was getting ready to go to the cross. Amen. And I believe that's part of it. That is part of the Passion of Christ. But can I submit something else to you? I think the whole Bible from front to back is the Passion of Christ. Amen. A lot of times Christians, and me included, think and thought that Easter is the most important holiday for a Christian, because that's when Jesus died and rose again for our sins. Amen. But I heard Pastor Dave say a while ago that he thinks and believes that the birth of Christ is the most important. Amen. And I kind of sided with Pastor David on that. Amen. Because if God wouldn't have decided to come to earth to save us, amen, we wouldn't have had no need for Easter to begin with, and we would be a lost cause. Amen. And so the passion of Christ is you and me. The passion of Christ is you and me. Have you ever been passionate for anything? That's the question. Amen. I've been passionate about things. And if you're like me, and if you're like most humans that I know, when you're passionate about something, you're going to get it accomplished come heaven or high water. Amen. You're going to do whatever it takes to accomplish whatever it is you're passionate about. If you're passionate about needlepoint, you're going to get that thing done. Amen. Hallelujah. If you're passionate about a street ministry, you're going to get a street ministry started. You're going to go out there and give them Jesus, come hell or high water, heaven or high water. Amen. If you're passionate about music, you're going to play music with all you got. You get the point here. What's your passion? What really turns you on is what motivates you. What motivates you? You're going to accomplish whatever that is. And you know what motivates God and turns God on? You do. Say, I do. Amen. Did you know that Christ was crucified before the foundation of the world? It says in Revelations. Did you know that? Amen. He had this thing planned from the beginning. Where's it at? Revelations 9:6, I believe. That wasn't it. Hallelujah. I've got it written down here. Bear with me just a second. Amen. Somebody look that up real quick. Hallelujah. It's in there. It's in the book of Revelations. Hallelujah. And from before the foundation of the world, it says Christ was crucified. Was he crucified yet before the foundation of the world? No. But God knew it was going to happen. God knew the plan that it was going to, God knew what it was going to take to save you, Joe, Crystal. You could put your name in there. And he knew what kind of mess we was going to be. And you know what else he knew? He knew it was going to take a perfect blood sacrifice to save you and I. It had to be perfect, though. And the only perfect one is God Almighty. So God Almighty came in the form of Jesus. Jesus is God. Amen. Hallelujah. It did. The passion of Jesus Christ stands alone as the most important event creation has ever known. The Bible tells us that long before the world began, God had planned that the crucifixion of Jesus would be the method and payment for sin. The only payment that would reconcile sinners to a holy and loving God. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 19 and 20 says, He paid for you with the precious lifeblood of Christ, the sinless, spotless Lamb of God. God chose Him for this purpose long before the world began. But now in these final days, He has sent to the earth for all to see, and He did this for you. That the verse of Scripture I was trying to tell you about, I just read it. It's 1 Peter 13:8. What's it say in Revelation 13:8?
All that dwell upon the earth, whose names are of life, for the Lamb slain from the...
Hebrews 4:3. So there's at least three places in the Bible that tells us that the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, and we know that's impossible. Amen. It did not happen that way in the physical realm. But in the spiritual realm, it did. Amen. God knew what was going to happen and what was going to be needed, and He had a plan from the very beginning, what your and my life was going to be like, what era we was going to live in, that ISIS was going to be raised in Cain, and that we was going to need a Savior. And before God put Adam and Eve on the earth in the Garden of Eden, He already had the plan made. I'm going to have to come down here and die for these fools because they're acting a fool. And that was what He was passionate about. Did you know in practicing the presence of God, the purpose of God is discovered? I know I got to say that again. When I read this, I was like, what did I just say? So here it is again. In practicing the presence of God, the purpose of God is discovered. Amen. You mean we got to practice the presence of God? Yeah, you can't. I mean, sometimes God will just come on you like a mighty flood. But a lot of times you got to come in here and get into praise and worship and get your stinking thinking and your attitude right. And quit being offended about things and quit worrying about what they look like. And somebody might smell different than you do. Amen. But when you put all that aside and you start focusing on Jesus, amen, and you start practicing the presence of God, amen, then the purposes of God is discovered. Hallelujah. You've heard me say a bunch of times, and I'll probably say it a bunch more times because I think it's worthy of re-saying, but if you don't know what your ministry, if you don't know what you're supposed to be doing for Jesus, find a need and fill it. Amen. Find a need and fill it. And if you ain't where you're supposed to be, God will move you around. I promise you that. Amen. Listen to this. The knowledge and experiences, now you got to listen to this closely. The knowledge and experiences that God gives us will help us to discover his purpose for our lives. I got to say it again. The knowledge and experiences. How many have experienced God? How many have some knowledge of God? How many know everything about God? We have a knowledge of God. We have some knowledge of God. Amen. We see through the glass darkly, but when he comes, we're going to see clearly like face. Amen. It says in the book, right? We have some knowledge, and we've had some experiences with God. Amen. And that gives us, or that helps us, excuse me, to discover his purpose for our lives. Amen. Where you go and what you do will help you discover what your passion is. Street people, Jesus. There's people that's got a heart for the homeless. A people that's got a heart for people that are sleeping under bridges, don't have warm clothes, don't know where their next meal is coming from. Or you might have a passion for children. You want to go to an orphanage, adopt all of them. Amen. Or you might want to go to the senior citizens home. Amen. And hang out with people that are in their 80s, like that commercial said. Anybody know what commercial I'm talking about? You can dance like, I forget what commercial it is, but it says you can dance like it's the 80s. Or you can go to a senior citizen home and dance with people that are in their 80s. Or you can do both. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Down through history, God provided us a roadmap. He sent him his visions and stuff through prophets. And I got to looking up. This is where the focus of this Bible study or preaching is going. I got to focusing on the prophecies that Jesus fulfilled. And as I was studying this out, I found out that there's 300 prophecies that Jesus fulfilled with his birth, with his life, and with his death, and with his resurrection. 300 prophecies. So I got to looking that up, and it said one person, or mathematically speaking, the odds of anyone fulfilling this amount of prophecy are staggering. Mathematicians, and you know when you hear the word mathematicians, you're going to hear some words, or you're going to see some numbers, or hear some stuff that's over your head, unless you're a mathematician. But mathematically speaking, they put it this way. One person fulfilling just 8 prophecies. Remember I just said he fulfilled 300. But one person fulfilling 8 prophecies is 100. It would be 100 quadrillion to 1. 100 quadrillion to 1 chance of that happening. That is 100 with 17 zeros behind it. 100 quadrillion to 1 chance of one person fulfilling just 8 prophecies. Jesus and his life fulfilled 300. So listen to this. We're going to raise it up a notch here. One person fulfilling just 48 prophecies has one chance in 10 to the 157th power. That means 10 with 57 zeros behind it. I don't even know how you would say that. Is there any, what bazillion, quadrillion, bazillion thing, what word would that be? One person fulfilling 40 prophecies has one chance in 10 to the 157th power. Amen. So listen to this. One person fulfilling all 300 prophecies, it could only be God. There's not even a mathematical formula to even figure it out. Well, I'm sure there is. If you 10 to the bazillionth power or something, I don't know, but amen. So one person fulfilling 8 prophecies is 100 quadrillion to 1 chance, or 10 to the 17th power. One person fulfilling 48 prophecies is 10 to the 157th power. One person fulfilling 300 prophecies, they don't even have a figure figured. It's got to be God. Amen. Hallelujah. So we're going to go over some of these prophecies. Just a few of them. We don't have time to go over really even 8. Well, maybe 8. We don't have time to go over 48. And we definitely don't have time right now to go over 300. Nor do I have the notes to go over that. But we're going to go over a few. Amen. If you open your Bibles, please, to Micah. Micah chapter 5. M-I-C-A-H. If you don't have a Bible out there in the foyer, or many. But Micah 5:2 says, "But you, O Bethlehem Ephratah, are only a small village in Judah. Yet a ruler of Israel will come from you, one whose origins are from the distant past. Amen. Micah was an 8th century. That's a long time ago. Micah was an 8th century before Christ, prophet. He lived at the same time as the prophets Amos, Hosea, and Isaiah. Anybody heard of those people? The book of Micah tells us how the judgment of God will fall on Samaria and Jerusalem due to sin. And afterwards, God will give restoration. Amen. Does everybody find Micah? I just want you to see it in your book. We're not going to spend a lot of time there. It's there. Amen. Now I want you to see the fulfillment of that prophecy. I'm going to give you a book that you're much more familiar with and we'll be able to find much more quicker, and that is Matthew chapter 2. But Micah describes a time, a wonderful future, where the city of Bethlehem will give birth to a ruler greater than David. Amen. So in Matthew chapter 2, we're going to read verses 1 to 6. It says, Jesus was born in the town of Bethlehem in Judea during the reign of King Herod. About that time, some wise men east lands arrived in Jerusalem, asking, where is the newborn king of the Jews? We have seen his star as it arose, and we have come to worship him. Herod was deeply disturbed by their question, as was all of Jerusalem. He called a meeting of the leading priests and teachers of religious law. Where did the prophets say the Messiah would be born? Did you catch that question right there? Where did the prophets say the Messiah would be born, he asked them. In Bethlehem, they said, for this is what the prophet wrote. O Bethlehem of Judah, you are now not just a lowly village in Judah, for a ruler will come from you who will be the shepherd for my people Israel. Amen. The prophecy was in Micah during the 8th year before Christ. 8th century, I should say. 8th century, you see. Not year, century. That prophecy was fulfilled in the New Testament, and it's recorded for us right there in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 to 6. Also, Luke chapter 2, verses 4, 5, 7, 15. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was obviously pregnant by this time. She gave birth to her first son, a son. She wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger because there was no room for them in the village inn. When the angels had returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, come on, let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this wonderful thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. And John 7:42 says, for the scripture clearly states that the Messiah, will be born of the royal line of David in Bethlehem, the village where King David was born. Amen. There's three prophecies that was talked about right there about the Christ child being born in Bethlehem. Amen. Bethlehem was a little spot that nobody thought anything good could come out of. Amen. But God said, that's where you're going to be born. That's where I'm going to be born at. The Messiah will be born of a virgin. Isaiah chapter 7:14 says, all right then, the Lord himself will choose the sign. Did you hear that? The Lord himself will choose the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and call him Emmanuel. God is with us. Isaiah chapter 9. I know I'm giving you a lot of scriptures here. You just have to write them down and go back for time's sake if you want to. Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7 says, for a child is born to us, a son is given to us, and the government will rest upon his shoulder. These will be his royal titles: Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. His ever-expanding peaceful government will never end. He will rule forever with fairness and justice from the throne of his ancestor David. The passionate commitment of the Lord Almighty will guarantee this. Amen. The prophet Isaiah lived in Jerusalem in the 8th century of Christ. So Micah was 5, now we're at 8th century of Christ. And the book of Isaiah is one of four major prophetic books in the Old Testament, along with Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and Daniel. Chapter 7 Isaiah was written about 735 years before Christ. Chapter 7, 735 years. King Ahaz was on the throne, and Isaiah was sent with the message that God was sending Judah a sign. This sign would be a child called God is with us. Amen. We find that fulfillment in Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 23. Amen. In chapter 1, verses 20 and 23 says, as he considered this, he fell asleep, and the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to go ahead with your marriage to Mary, for the child within her has been conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this happened to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. There we go again, another prophecy. Through the prophet, look, the virgin shall conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and he will be called Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Who was the prophet? Isaiah. Amen. There's another prophecy that says the Messiah will be a prophet like Moses, and that's found in Deuteronomy 18:15. I'm not going to read all these. Amen. The fulfillment of that prophecy is John chapter 7, verses 40 and 42. Amen. I'll read that one. When the crowds heard him say this, some of them declared, "This man surely is the prophet." Others said, "He is the Messiah." Still others said, But he can't be. Will the Messiah come to the Gentiles? For the scripture clearly states that the Messiah will be born of the royal line of David in Bethlehem, the village where King David was born. Amen. Another prophecy in Psalms 91, 10, and 10, 11, and 12 says the Messiah would be tempted by Satan. We all are familiar with that verse of Scripture. If you're God, cast yourself off these rocks and the angels will bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone, so on and so forth. Amen. Hallelujah. The fulfillment of that was Matthew chapter 4, verses 5 and 7. We've read about the Satan tempting Christ. Amen. Another prophecy about the Messiah was that he would enter Jerusalem triumphantly. And that's recorded for us in Zechariah 9 and 9. Amen. The fulfillment about Jesus entering triumphantly was Matthew 21, verses 8 to 11, Luke 19, verses 35 to 37, and John 12, 12 to 15. We're all familiar with the story about Jesus riding on the colt of a donkey. Amen. The Messiah would be rejected by his own people. We read that. And that's recorded or prophesied in Isaiah chapter 53. So you can see, I could just keep going and going where these prophecies were prophesied and they were fulfilled in the Bible. In the astronomical numbers we talked about of just 8 of them being fulfilled is almost humanly impossible. 1 to 100 quadrillion. Amen. You ever tried to say that? That's a lot of zeros behind there. That's just for 8 of them. Amen. But I believe that the message at this Christmas time, the message for today is that God is passionate about you. God is passionate about you. He fulfilled 300 prophecies that's mathematically impossible. Say for me. Amen. God did that for me. Amen. God knew. In your human mind, if you could look down through the eons of time and you had this plan that you were going to create something and this creation was going to turn out to hate you and sin against you and just as soon not be around you or even talk about, even curse you, in my human mind, I wouldn't do it. That's just a waste of time. Amen. But God looked down through the eons of time, amen, and said before the world was created, he was crucified in the spirit realm. He already knew it was going to happen. He already knew he was going to have to come here and suffer and die and be beat nearly to death. Amen. I think the Passion of Christ from Mel Gibson probably give, from what I've read, the best description of the beating Christ took, but even that doesn't really touch it. Amen. If you really study it out and read the history books, amen. He was beat beyond what any human man could endure. Hallelujah for you and me. And it all starts at this thing, this time, during this season that we call Christmas. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5 says, "To love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength and your neighbor yourself." That was the new command that Jesus gave. And that's a very, if you think about that, that's easy to say it. Amen. But it's really a high and lofty command that's critical. But do we always do that? Ask yourself, do I always love God, Lord my God, with all my heart, soul, mind, and strength, my neighbors, myself? Do I always do that? If you ask yourself that and you're really honest with yourself, you have to do what I heard Brother Gary back there say, no, I don't. I've fallen short again, Lord. Amen. And every day, you need to go to some place like an altar or your prayer closet or wherever you go to pray and get in contact with God and experience the presence of God and say, God, I blew it again. Amen. I didn't measure up again today, Lord. Amen. You're the target, and I missed it. I hit over here somewhere. And every day God says, I love you, son. I forgive you. I love you, daughter. I forgive you. Amen. I want you to get up. I'm going to dust you off, and I want you to try it again tomorrow. In fact, I want you to try it again starting right now. Amen. Why wait for tomorrow? Hallelujah. Aren't you glad we serve a God like that? Amen. Because I know I'm not the only person that thinks that if I'd been God, a whole bunch of dummies. Yeah. Remember me talking about those offenses? Amen. You're all the same way. I know I'm in the right place. Hallelujah. I think I'm going to quit, Pastor. Hallelujah. Lord, we just thank you, Lord, for this message we have. It's a simple message, but a complicated message at the same time. Amen. Lord, your passion, the passion of Christ, is not just during the week you suffered or during the time that you suffered, knowing that you was going to the cross, Lord, but your passion started before the foundation of the world began. Before the foundation of the world began, you were crucified in the spirit realm. You knew what it was going to take to come here and save me. You knew what it was going to take, yet you was obedient and came anyway. In the form of a helpless little baby that had to be fed, you had to have your diaper changed just like I did. You had to be cared for and loved just like I did, just like we did, Lord. And yet you chose to humble yourself and come and do it that way. And God, we are unworthy in and of ourselves, and we know that. But Lord, because of you, we are worthy. When we say yes to you, God, that's what makes us worthy of your love, of your grace, of your mercy. And Lord, during this Christmas season when we celebrate you, your birth, Lord, help us to stay focused on you and not the commercialization of Christmas. What am I going to get this person, that person? What am I going to fix their dinner? Lord, let us not be so thin-skinned, I pray, that we don't get offended over every little thing. Lord, help us to realize that if we don't like the way something's going, amen, we need to go to you and pray about it and start working on changing the thing in this name. And Lord, we just ask, Lord, that for you to have your way today, the rest of this day. And Lord, I pray, Lord, that there was something today that I was obedient and said that you said through me that will change somebody's life. In Jesus' name, amen.